Good morning. I call the Senate Finance Committee meeting to order. Today is Friday, July 19th, and the time is 11:05 a.m. We are meeting in the state, in the Senate Finance Room in the State Capitol. Please silence your cell phones. This is Co-Chair Natasha von Imhoff. I'm joined today by Co-Chair Stedman, Senator Bishop, Senator Wilson, Senator Olson, Senator Wilikowski. Senator Hoffman is with on a family matter, and Senator Machicki is excused. We also have today with us President Giesel, Senator Keel, Senator Birch. I saw earlier Senator Gray Jackson. I see Senator Costello, Senator Reinbold, and there was Senator Hughes, but Senator Hughes. Okay. We have a quorum to do business. So today is SB 2002, Governor's Capital Budget. It is our only agenda item, and it is the Governor's Appropriation Bill for Capital, Supplemental, and Other Appropriations. Last month, both bodies passed Senate Bill 19, the Capital Budget. However, the necessary three-quarter vote for funding many of these items, of the items in the budget, was not secured, leaving large gaps in our capital budget, including critical appropriations for federal highway match. In addition, the legislature has not addressed the constitutional budget reserve reverse sweep, which we discussed at length yesterday at this committee. This leaves further gaps in our budget, including funding for the crime bill. I would like to thank the administration and OMB for providing this capital bill to address some of the gaps in the state's fiscal year 2020 budget. Thank you. These appropriations are critical. Alaska is large and very spread out. It is necessary to maintain capital infrastructure for our roads, airports, and ports so Alaskans can stay connected to each other, to our livelihoods, and to our land. So today, I have to present this bill. I'd like to invite Paloma Harbor, Budget Director, OMB, to the table, and Shelley Wilhoit, Capital Budget Coordinator, OMB. And I see we have a PowerPoint, and I ask that committee members hold their questions to the end of each slide. So please proceed when you're ready. Thank you.
Good morning, Chair von Imhoff and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Paloma Harbor, and I am the new budget director for the Office of Management and Budget. Thank you for the opportunity to come to you today and present SB 2002. I am hoping that because these projects are not new to you, I'll be able to just run through a high level. But I do have Shelley here with me to answer detailed questions, and then there's subject matter experts in the audience and on the phone if needed. This bill provides over $170 million in unrestricted general funds that are necessary to, or nearly $170 million in unrestricted general funds that are necessary to meet federal match requirements, maximize federal funding for project grants, and support projects that were unfunded when a draw from the CBR was not approved during the passage of Senate Bill 19. This slide simply provides a summary of both the operating and the capital funding in the bill by agency. But then we'll walk through them as well in the presentation. So the funding to the Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development provides $60,000 in match funding for community block grants that leverages over $6 million in federal funds. Also $7.42 million for the Alaska Travel Industry Association and $85,000 for Hope Community Resources. The funding to the Department of Corrections provides $2.54 million to match Mental Health Trust Authority receipts and cover renovations required for the Women's Mental Health Unit at Highland Correctional Center. The funding to the Department of Environmental Conservation provides just over $12 million for village safe water and wastewater infrastructure projects. Okay. The funding for the Department of Fish and Game provides $1 million for Cook Inlet stock assessment. The funding for the Governor's Office provides $2.5 million for building facility and IT system costs. The funding to the Department of Natural Resources provides $600,000 in match funding for critical mineral mapping that leverages $3 million in federal receipts, $300,000, which leverages another $300,000 in federal funding to produce a scale bedrock geological map. I'm not going to go into details. And then $2.5 million for Arctic Strategic Transportation and Resources.
Senator Olson has a question.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Ms. Harbor, as we look at the Office of the Governor, and you're asking for $2.5 million, I guess, is there any more detail as to what it's going to be used for besides buildings and IT equipment? And I'm assuming there's no federal match that it's trying to do with it. Is that correct?
Through the Chair, Senator Olson, you're correct. This is not matching federal funds. It is because there was in the approved Senate Bill 19 a reappropriation of unspent general funds at the end of FY 19 to be used on capital projects for the Governor's Office. Mm-hmm. That funding lapsed and was swept as a part of the sweep, and so now we have a hole. We have these capital projects, renovations, maintenance that needs to be funded. On the IT systems, it's related to the elections system replacement project. So there's a number of projects that this funding will go towards.
Last question, Madam Chair.
Senator Olson.
So this isn't necessarily going to be, this isn't necessary if there's a reverse sweep implemented, is that correct?
Through the Chair, Senator Olson, it is still necessary because this was operating regular general funds 1004, which are not included in the traditional reverse sweep language. So the funding was in an appropriation. That appropriation lapsed. It's now gone to the back into the account. It's not like a special fund where we had a balance in there and it's going back to that special fund. That's what will be addressed with the reverse sweep.
No further questions, Madam Chair.
So thank you. Senator Bishop.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Ms. Harbor, the A-STAR funding, the 2-5, is... can you refresh my memory? How far will that take us with that project?
Okay.
And you can get back to the committee, to the chairs, if you don't have it at your fingertips.
Through the chair, Senator Bishop, yes, I'll take that option, please. Thank you.
So just going back to Senator Olson's line of questioning, in the previous capital budget, there was about $7.5 million of reappropriations that were put into a parking lot, if you will, for future appropriations that were vetoed by the governor. So it wasn't just the Office of the Governor, but there was all sorts of things for harbors, for other construction capital projects all over the state that were vetoed. Are any of those highlighted here in this new budget other than the Office of the Governor?
Chair Von Imhoff, there's also an appropriation later to the legislature. It's the exact same thing where the legislature had operating funds that had been reappropriated for their capital costs, and that funding is not available due to the sweep.
We'll take a look at that as you get to it. Thank you. Is there any further questions? Please proceed.
Okay. Let's see. The funding to the Department of Public Safety is a reappropriation, again, that's not there, of $1.059 million from a driver training center project for the maintenance and renovation of rural trooper housing. The funding to the Department of Revenue provides $8.85 million for Alaska Housing Finance Corporation, the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation, which will allow them to apply for HUD, other federal agency and private foundation grants that target the housing needs of low-income and special need groups. And those funds leverage $10.75 million in federal funds. The funding to the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities provides $73.5 million in match funding for federal highway, aviation, and other programs, leveraging nearly $900 million in federal funds. It also provides $13.5 million for the Alaska Marine Highway System and $2.2 million for the decommissioning and remediation of Class 5 injection wells. The funding to the judiciary provides $973,000 to improve the court's computer systems and security, and for deferred maintenance of a $1.5 million appropriation for deferred maintenance. The funding to the legislature provides $4.2 million for building and facility renovation costs. Questions?
No questions, I don't see.
Okay. This bill also includes just over $14 million in operating funding to replace power cost equalization funds that are not available due to the CBR sweep. And so these next two slides are just listing what those fund source changes are for. I wasn't going to go through them one by one.
Sure. Yes, please. Just, I assume, is this mostly for the crime bill?
Through the chair, Chair Von Imhoff, that's correct. And most of these are related to the crime legislation, correct? Is that?
Yes,
they're all fiscal notes. Some of the there were multiple fiscal notes where the fund source was changed from UGF to power cost equalization at the last minute. So we're replacing those funds.
Okay, thank you. Senator Olson has a question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As you look at that number, $14 million, how did you come up with it?
Through the chair, Senator Olson, it's just the addition of all the different fiscal notes. They were part of legislation that passed, but they don't have funding behind them.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
We did separate the crime bills for the funding to corrections on its own slide, or House Bill 49 specifically. So that's your last slide there, or not your second to last slide there. I'm not walking through project by project, but those are there for you. And then the last substantive section in the bill appropriates funds from the general fund to sub-funds and accounts necessary to cover appropriations from those sub-funds in FY20 to fill holes resulting from the CBR sweep.
This is similar to what we talked about yesterday in the reverse sweep gaps in the funding. Are there any questions from committee members about what you see here? Well, I have a question.
Okay.
So looking at the bill, I saw, when I'm just doing a little bit of quick math, I see that the general fund appropriation for capital items plus the crime notes is about $168 million. And then, of course, from the presentation yesterday, I think OMB estimated that the funding for the fiscal gaps due to the reverse sweep is about $115 million. So that's a total of about $282 million when you add them all up. And I was just curious, do we have sufficient money in the general fund to cover all of these expenses?
So, Chair Von Imhoff, I know that you did ask, and I believe Senator Olson asked as well, for an accounting. How much is available? How much do we anticipate needing for each item? We're still working on the math for that. There is some overlap between this legislation, the holes that we're filling, and the $115 million figure. So we're just trying to figure that all out for you.
Okay. I do know that we have Mr. Teal here to kind of help us out with that today, because based on his presentation last week, there's about a little less than $200 million in the general fund after all the veto. So it looks like this is a little budget deficit here. Senator Stedman.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Just trying to get a grasp on the current cash balances without this bill, with the vetoes that were in place. And could you give us an estimate or from OMB what from their perspective is the cash position of the state today in a range?
Through the chair, Senator Stedman, I'm assuming you're asking me what the balance is available to cover the holes, more or less.
Senator Stedman.
Yes, there's the general fund balance available for appropriations, cash availability. We recognize there's about $1 billion of the vetoed ERA draw. So there's the $1 billion plus some number, and we're having some discussions and assuming it's more possibly around a couple hundred million, but I'm wondering what OMB's position is on the cash balances.
Through the chair, Senator Stedman, yes, we also believe there's about $200 million, but I want to get a good number for you.
So you'd like to get a good number for us tomorrow?
Yes, that seems reasonable.
Okay, because we're going to, you know, be looking at this bill and presenting it, and it's, I think it would be good that when we vote on something, on any bill, we should have an idea whether it's properly funded or not. Any further questions before we invite Mr. Teal? We're going to take a brief at ease. Well, actually, excuse me, hold on. Senator Wilson has a question.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to make sure that in this budget here that the only two new, a few items that are new are we have the amount from the governor's office, the amount in the legislative item, and then the crime bills have been sort of reallocated to what they were when they left the Senate before they were passed by the House, correct?
Through the chair, Senator Wilson, the funding to the governor's office and the legislature were both in Senate Bill 19 that passed. It's just that because the three-quarter vote failed, that funding went and we can't access it anymore.
Okay, correct. Thank you.
Thank you.
We have Senator Stedman followed by Senator Wilkowski.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Maybe I was looking at other things on my table here, but Section 8 of the bill, the fund transfers, is a big issue. I think we need to spend some time with that. I'm sure there's people at home are watching that didn't see the Finance Committee meeting yesterday, and or there's new people within the audience. We should have a discussion on Section 8. Good thing we're not in the Army. I think that's when they X you out for being crazy. But Section 8 discussion. So we're clear, everybody at the table is clear what is or is not included in the fund transfer.
Thank you, Senator Stedman. For folks that were not here yesterday, we had OMB present, and Mr. Teal talked to us about the impacts of the lack of reverse sweep. And in a high-level overview, it was estimated to be about $115 million in total of funding gaps statewide through little pockets here and there. One of the more well-known that has been written about in the media is the Alaska Performance Scholarships of about $18 million, the WAMI program of about $3 million and some change, and the Power Cost Equalization, which would be community support grants and so forth, of about another $30 million, among others. So we did discuss a little bit of those impacts, so that's a high level. So if you would like to comment on that further for the folks here today, that would be helpful.
Chair Von Amhoff, thank you. The writing is written very legally, so it can be confusing. So I do appreciate the opportunity to try and be very clear. And as we mentioned, it does just fill the holes for FY20. It's not the same as a reverse sweep. It doesn't put all the funding back in the funds. But if there's enough in the general fund to cover it, it just takes a majority vote versus a three-quarter vote. Because it wouldn't have to draw from the CBR. So it would help address immediate needs fairly well. It also will ensure that we cover needs that we don't know yet. So that fund that hasn't yet been thoroughly analyzed, and in March it's out of money, and it needs $60,000, this language would cover that. So.
Senator Wilkowski, did you have a question?
I do. Thank you. What's the rationale for not including university scholarship funding in this budget?
Through the chair, Senator Wilkowski, I'm not sure I understand the question.
University scholarship, the higher education fund is not specifically listed in here, like the power cost equalization endowment fund.
Oh.
I'm just curious why that is.
Through the chair, Senator Wilikowski, the only items specifically listed in this bill to replace power cost equalization funds are where unrestricted general funds really should have been used to support those programs, like the crime bill and regular operating programs. So the fiscal notes were originally unrestricted general funds. They should be unrestricted general funds, not PCE funds. The actual solution for PCE and the actual solution for the higher education fund are covered in Section 8, along with the rest of the funds. So they're a part of the $115 million that we are talking about.
Senator Wilikowski, follow up.
Okay, just so I understand. So there are, I think, 5,000 students who receive scholarship funds for the university through the higher education fund in some way. And you're saying that is covered under Section 8 of this bill, those
Absolutely.
Funds?
Absolutely. Through the chair, Senator Wilikowski, yes.
Great. Okay. And another question.
I'd like to add that you said if there is enough in the general fund. So I'd like to know which student, is it first come, first serve? Which student you're going to throw overboard and which student you're going to cover? Don't answer that. Senator Wilikowski, give a follow-up, and then we have Senator Stedman here.
Actually, I sort of would like an answer to that. How would you interpret that as far as who's to be funded and who's not to be funded?
At ease, Madam Chair.
And not necessarily student-wide. We're talking about the
program-wide.
Program-wide.
Was there an at ease?
Yeah, at ease, Madam Chair.
At ease?
Yeah.
Okay, at ease. We are back on the record, and I believe Senator Stedman has a question.
I have a question, but just a quick comment. I think on the previous question, Madam Chairman, the concern that some of us have at the finance table is we have as accurate of a count of the general fund balance as possible, because when we draw the general fund balance down, if there are shortfalls, there might be some prorating going on. Obviously, something's going to get not funded, and we would like to ensure that that doesn't happen. I think that was the gist of the question versus if a particular individual wouldn't get his scholarship versus something else. I think it's a broader context. But the question I have, Madam Chairman, is with Section 8, there is, from recalling from yesterday's meeting, there's roughly $2 billion that will be added, or is added, frankly, right now, because we do not have a reverse sweep in these cash balances of numerous accounts, including PCE and higher ed fund, of roughly $2 billion. And that's a policy discussion that I think is pertinent to this table, whether we, as the appropriators, want to support not having a reverse sweep and moving that $2 billion from a litany of accounts to the main savings account, the Constitutional Budget Reserve, which takes a three-quarter vote to get it, any money out. And this language, it appears, would just backfill FY20 appropriations for the scholarships and other things. But I'd like to hear from OMB the position of the administration on the reverse sweep, if they support the reverse sweep and inadvertently left it out of the legislation, or they don't support the reverse sweep and prefer that everything is swept and we go to annual funding. And Madam Chairman, if that's the case, we need to have a discussion on how we're going to deal with our sinking funds and a whole litany of other issues that this committee would have a high interest in and responsibility for in the administration of the assets of the state.
Is that a question?
Yes.
The administration supports the Constitution. In our budget proposal, we did not propose a reverse sweep. We funded all these programs with general fund. This solution would fund those programs with general fund.
So, Madam Chairman, so then the administration does not support the reverse sweep in reconstituting the fund balances. I assume that's correct. So at some point, Madam Chairman, we need to have a discussion at this table, if that's the policy that is going to go forward in the state, we need to have a thorough understanding of all these account balances and how we're going to deal with sinking funds and other, you know, if we have major renovations that we want to set aside money for several years or what have you, so it's clear to the Finance Committee how to deal with these significant issues, so we don't have misunderstanding where we think we have set aside or moving forward to deal with a significant issue that the state is facing cost-wise that may take multiple years to set money aside, and then find out that, you know, that hadn't taken place or got derailed, or just so everybody's on the same page. And I was just wondering, I guess I should put it in a question form, if OMB, as OMB, given that any thought, and is the administration contemplating a discussion at some point between now and next May on how we're going to operate the state going forward under the assumption that we don't have a reverse sweep, we just continually do the sweep, and I think it's all, if I could parse there just for a second, it's undisputed fact in the Constitution that the sweep is required. Nobody is questioning that at all. And nobody is, that I'm aware of, is questioning the legality or the concept of the sweep taking place. There's some questions over the fund accounts yesterday and some minor areas that, you know, there needs to be a dialogue between the legislature and the administration on, so we're both clear on some of the accounts, but just for the public, clearly it's in the Constitution. There's no question there. So the question really is, how do we go forward under the apparently new policy of not having a reverse sweep to make things run smooth?
Through the chair, Senator Stedman, I think, well, my opinion, this language is perfect in that we will have a year where we find out what are the true costs to operate these programs, and then we can build those costs into the budget every year moving forward, or reduce those costs if needed, to ensure that we're balancing revenue to expenditures. So the accounting that we will have to do as a result of this language, and it will, this language is very similar to the CBR, what did we call that, headroom that's been used previously, where you're saying, okay, we think it's going to be about $100 million that we're going to need for ups and downs throughout the year. We're saying, okay, we think we need about $115 million, or we have about $200 million, let's say, to operate our programs. We are going to operate our programs throughout the year. We're going to ensure that scholarships go out, that PCE funds go out, that these programs operate. And then in the May timeframe, if we're running short, you know, then we, it's an accounting exercise.
And just to be clear, through the chair, every year your revenues may fall from projections. So every year around that point in time, we have to find out what our general fund situation is.
So I'd just like to add on, you stated it's an accounting exercise. The vaccine assessment fund is not an accounting exercise. It is an emergency response. And with a measles outbreak, the reason why we've got millions of dollars in this fund that can be deployed immediately by the CDC is to buy the vials of vaccine that we need. So to build upon Senator Stedman's comment before, rather than just making a blanket statement of each of the hundreds of funds that will be swept per your interpretation of the Constitution, perhaps it might make sense to look at some of these funds and make changes to them so we can protect them, such as the vaccine fund, which we did, but we're a day short, and unfortunately. I know that Senator Bishop, followed by Senator Olson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I'd just like to, we did have our first case of confirmed measles in the Kenai, I believe, was a couple of days ago. So just to segue away from that, back to maybe a different way of accounting and fund source changes going forward, I would, a wholesale change of this magnitude in 1 year is, I think, not a wise move. If you're looking at doing something like this, the committee needs to fully understand it. You need to take it in tranches, because as the chair was a first-year freshman here at this table, and I passed her a note, and she said, well, we cut all this money. And I said, yeah, but there'll be a supplemental next year. It'll all be gone. This committee don't, I for one, we don't want any surprises. I don't think you want any surprises. And you need to tread very carefully in how this is rolled out. So just last thing I'd like to say is, so the scholarship funds are back in with this with this bill?
Through the chair, Senator, Director Harbor was explaining that this language covers all of those programs that otherwise would have been funded with the reverse sweep. So those will be covered for the year.
Yep.
Okay, if I can follow up.
Senator Bishop.
So that means that getting back to the earlier questions, so those recipients will be funded?
Through the chair, Senator Bishop, that's correct.
Okay, so I'm assuming we're going to have a university that they have somewhere to go to spend these funds. Thank you.
We have Senator Olson followed by Senator Wilikowski.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Ms. Harbor, as you look at your way of seeing what they cost last year to do it this year, there's an element of uncertainty that is in the back of everybody's mind, and those people that are really uncertain are obviously leaving the state. It's the accounting that takes time. So where you have deadlines that are out there that is causing a lot of consternation, not just here in the legislature, but throughout the state, throughout the state with these programs that are up in arms.
Did you?
So that wasn't a question. It was more of a reflection of what I've been hearing from the population as I've been traveling throughout the state.
So we're going to, we have Senator Wilikowski in the queue. We'll finish up with questions here, hopefully, so we can have Mr. Teal present as well. Senator Wilikowski.
Thank you. What is being repealed in Section 9?
I shouldn't assume. Through the chair, Senator Wilikowski, my understanding is that this, and I'll have to go back and check and get back to you, but I think it's just the PCE appropriations, but I'll verify that for you.
So it's an
I'm sorry.
It's an accounting exercise?
There was language in Senate Bill 19 that made the funding to the correctional Palmer Correctional Center contingent. There was contingency language in there, and this is repealing that language.
Senator Wilikowski.
Contingent on what? Is it a number of reports that are being provided?
I'll have to get back to you with that information. We'll get back. Go ahead.
For the record, my name is Shelley Wilfoyd, Office of Management and Budget, and the Capital Coordinator. These fiscal notes had contingency language. Let me find the exact right thing. It was based on population, and I can get you the exact, I thought I had it right here, but I don't, but I can get you the exact numbers, but it was contingent on having a certain number of population in the Palmer Center. And that was repealed.
Okay, so thank you for presenting the bill. We are now going to, before we ask Mr. Teal to come up, we are going to have a brief at ease. However, he's going to be focusing, I believe, on balances to address Senator Stedman's question, just what's available for funding for this particular bill. I am a little concerned that Section 8 may run out of money. There's more needs than there are funding available. The true fix for a reverse sweep is a three-quarter vote. So thank you for your time, and we're going to take a brief at ease. Back on the record, We have Mr. Teal with Legislative Finance at the end of the table to go over balances in the general fund. Take it away, Mr. Teal.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm David Teal, Director of the Legislative Finance Division. And you asked me to extend the spreadsheet that you saw a couple days ago to include the governor's bill. So what we have is, I think I can get that a little bigger. This is the budget adopted by the legislature. Same numbers you saw before, $4.4 billion in spending, $5.2 in revenue. You were in a surplus situation of $800 million before dividends. With the governor's vetoes, that surplus was reduced to $180 million. And now, if you take and add the governor's version of SB 2002, to the enacted budget, you can see that we go to total expenditures of 4.3. The additional expenditures are the fiscal notes, which you've talked about. The crime bill was funded from power cost equalization. That's being replaced with general funds. The capital budget is $131 million. And then we put OMB's estimate here of $115 million of GF expenditures to pay for the shortages in programs that would be affected by the suite. But that's an appropriation from the general fund, just as all the others are, all these other costs are appropriations. So the governor's bill adds $282 million in appropriations, putting you at a deficit of $102 million. What that means is, you may recall that Governor Walker had to veto a number of items because he believed that it's unconstitutional to sign appropriation bills that leave us in a deficit situation. The point is, if you give the governor back the bill exactly as the governor submitted it to you, he can't sign it because of the deficit in the bill. Now, you can look at the numbers here and say, well, if the sweep were reversed, then this $115 million would be paid, would go away. That money would come. It wouldn't have been swept and wouldn't be needed. And the $35 million in fiscal notes wouldn't be incurred. So you would switch from a deficit of 100 to a surplus of about $35 million. Again, that makes the budget a legal budget to sign. But you should be aware that gives you no access to the CBR to handle any shortage in revenue this year. And even if we do meet expectations with revenue, that gives you no headroom other than the approximately $35 million surplus to spend for fire suppression, which we expect to be a sizable supplemental this year, or for earthquakes, which you know that you funded about half or more of what the department believes they'll need for earthquake response. So a large supplemental there is expected, and Medicaid or any other programs that need supplementals would require you to come up with some additional money, which means you may have to get a supermajority vote next January or as soon as the session starts to be able to pay for the budget, the supplemental needs in the budget.
So thank you, Mr. Teal. So a couple comments. As we see right now, that as the bill is presented, the governor's capital bill is presented at this time, based on your calculations, it yields approximately $101 million deficit in the general fund. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And your comment earlier was the governor technically cannot sign a bill that has a knowing deficit at this at the time of signing. Is that correct?
Correct, Madam Chair, but it's the sum of all the bills. It's not just 2002. 2002 itself is not a deficit bill, but when you add it to the bills that have already been enacted, that throws you into a deficit situation.
And furthermore, your other comment was in terms of supplementals that generally occur in January, February, and watching out our window with all the different wildfires that we're seeing around the state, we can anticipate there may be a hardy amount potentially requested next fall or next session that we're not leaving a lot of headroom for. Is that correct?
Correct, Madam Chair.
Okay. And then the last comment, I think, is you stated that if we do get a three-quarter vote at some point in the future, maybe not necessarily in 2019 or 2020, we will then have to do the accounting for all of those funds for 6 months of detail from July 1st to the date of the three-quarter vote. Is that correct?
That's a tough one for me to answer. I'm not an accountant. There's some real confusion, concern, whatever you want to call it, about things like retroactive dates and when the sweep actually occurs. You know, we know the effective date is June 30th, but the accountants won't know what those numbers are until much later. And as OMB testified on the impact of Section 8, which is the governor's answer to not having a reverse sweep, that they simply don't know what those costs are, estimated at $115 million. Our estimate was about $125 million, but I don't think that's worth quibbling over. They won't know what Section 8 costs until a year and a half from now.
Thank you, Mr. Teal. I see a number of questions around the table. Senator Bishop, followed by Senator Wilikowski.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So you just made my point that I made 10 minutes ago. Move cautiously, because you're in uncharted waters here, and you could wind up having a bigger hole 6 to 8 months down the road because we don't know.
Senator Wilikowski.
Thank you. I don't know if you were in the room or not, when we had a little discussion on Section 8 and how that would work regarding, for example, the higher education fund. How, if there were not enough money left in the general fund, how would or who would decide how that money is appropriated and to which programs and to which students, for example? Do you have any sense of how that would be worked out?
Senator Wilikowski, through the chair. I don't, because we've never been in a situation where we've been short-funded before. It's not merely a matter of Section 8. Section 8 is an appropriation just like any others. There's no priority known for, you could be talking Medicaid appropriations versus student loans. They're all simply unrestricted general fund appropriations, none of them having priority over any other. And I assume that would be up to the governor to restrict various programs. But normally what happens in a state that has a shortage of general funds is that they have to come back to the legislature. You may recall the Sheffield decision that there was a court case where he reduced expenditures. He chose the expenditures. They went to court and said the court decided that he cannot do that. The legislature must be involved in the determination of who gets the general funds. Is it this program or that program? So Section 8, if it throws you into a deficit situation, may require a special session. You may not know you're in a deficit situation until you're in regular session anyway. So it's hard to say what the timing is, what the impacts are on programs.
Senator Olson has a question.
I'm glad you brought up Governor Sheffield because the price of oil dropped so dramatically, and he had the, you know, he had the massive cuts that probably cost him the election. But back then, things were different. There wasn't a CBR in place, and I think now that we have a CBR in place, I think it puts a different light on it, though, as far as being able to find an answer to the questions if you are short funding programs. Is that true?
Through the chair, Senator Olson, that's the whole reason the CBR exists.
Right.
But remember that the CBR doesn't do you much good unless you have access to it. You can't get access to it without a supermajority vote. Your supermajority vote has been your problem. If you had a supermajority vote to reverse the sweep, many of these problems that we're talking about now, including the deficit, would go away. And the CBR vote typically says if revenue falls during the year, even though we submitted a balanced budget, but revenue comes in short of expectations, we don't shut down. We automatically go to the CBR and take out the money we need to continue all programs. So this is uncharted. Other states have procedures in place to handle this. We do not.
If I could follow up, Madam Chair.
Senator Olson.
As you look at what happened during the Sheffield time, it was the governor that took the bull by the horns and figured out an answer to the issue that was in front of him. Don't you think in this particular situation the governor will also go and step in there and put pressure upon the legislature to try and come up with a three-quarter vote?
Through the chair, I can't answer that. So far, the governor doesn't seem to be supporting a three-quarter vote, but I haven't talked to him. I don't know the reasons.
No further question, Madam Chair.
Senator, is there questions on this side of the table at all? Senator Wilikowski.
Thank you. Could the governor veto partial amounts of a reverse sweep?
Through the chair, I don't believe that he can. It's an appropriation of unnamed funds, and he wouldn't be able to add a list of funds that he was wanted to reverse to the budget. He can only cross out things. But that's a legal question and better suited to Megan Wallace.
Senator Wilikowski.
Different topic, but are you familiar with the repeal language in Section 9 and what that would effectively repeal?
Yes, through the chair, Senator Wilikowski, that the repeal is the Department of Corrections fiscal note regarding $16 million of power cost equalization to reopen the Palmer correctional facility. And I should add that there's an important distinction here in the way this is addressed. That fiscal note was put in language in the original bill because there was a desire to add specific limitations. It was based upon population counts. They could open one wing of Palmer if population reached a certain level, and the entire correctional facility if it reached their projections. The money couldn't be used for anything except the Palmer Correctional Facility. The change in the bill now is that the $16 million has no conditions on it. Department of Corrections gets that money regardless of population or prisoner count, and there's a structural change as well. Instead of being limited to reopening the Palmer Correctional Facility, it's simply put into management of inmate population and can be used for anything. not, well, not anything, anything within that appropriation, including out-of-state prisoner movements, buying equipment, unrelated to Palmer.
Senator Wilikowski?
That was my next question. Would if that repealer language stays, would that allow the administration to ship, or Department of Corrections to ship prisoners to out-of-state private prisons or in-state private prisons for that matter?
Thank you, the Chair. It would.
Thank you. Senator Wilson has a question.
Yeah, on that same language, I don't have that version of the bill when it left the Senate. Was that the way it was prior to the language, that it gave sort of the administration more of a broader usage of that fund before it went to the other body?
Madam Chair, and Senator Wilson, I'm sorry I can't answer that question because...
We brought Mr. Teal here today to kind of talk about the not necessarily bill details. Fair question, Senator Wilson, but Senator or Mr. Teal here is today to talk about the cash balances.
Well, and I was just going to say I can't answer it because I should know, but there were so many versions of it that I don't know which version was whose or when. So I can tell you how it ended up, but not at what stage things occurred.
Thank you.
Okay. Are we finished with Mr. Teal? Mr. Teal, thank you very much. Thank you very much for putting this spreadsheet together. It was clear and informative. Okay, committee. We will set Senate Bill 2002 aside and recess this meeting to the call of the chair this afternoon. The time is high noon, and the Senate Finance Committee meeting is at recess. Good evening. I call the Senate Finance Committee meeting to order. Today is Friday, July 19th, 2019, and the time is 6:15 p.m. Thank you, everyone, for being here so late. We appreciate it. We are meeting in the Senate Finance Room of the State Capitol. Please silence your cell phones. We have in the room myself, Natasha Von Imhoff. We have Co-Chair Stedman, Senator Bishop, Senator Wilson, Senator Olson, Senator Wilikowski. In the room, we have Senator Giesel, we have Senator Keel, and we have Rep. Tammy Wilson. And I think that's everybody. We have a quorum to do business. So in today's agenda is SB 2002, an act making capital, supplemental, and other appropriations, including appropriations from the Constitutional Budget Reserve. This morning, we heard an overview of SB 2002 as introduced by the governor. The governor's bill was introduced to fill critical funding gaps in the capital budget. However, this bill did not include all the items in SB 19 as was passed by both bodies. Both bodies worked on their respective capital budgets throughout the regular session, during the extended session and the first special session, and reached an agreement over which projects should be included. The committee substitute before you reflects these agreements, but it is still a bare-bones capital budget. It pays for the essential capital items and ensures our federal highway and aviation match monies are secured. The fund source for these capital budgets is the CBR, our Constitutional Budget Reserve, unless otherwise noted. This committee also heard extensively on the impacts of failing to reverse the CBR sweep. We've learned that failing to reverse the sweep will cost more than $100 million in general funds to fill budget holes and thousands of hours of staff time. Without the reverse sweep, we have no funding for the crime bills, Alaska Performance Scholarships, power cost subsidies for rural Alaskans, the WAMI program, which is our medical school, or even basic operational funding for the Department of Commerce to issue business licenses. All of the capital items before you have been previously heard and vetted, so we will not be taking additional public testimony today. As always, I do encourage Alaskans to reach out to specific offices or send a message to finance.committee@akledge.gov. Senator Stedman, can I have a motion to adopt the CS as our working document?
Madam Chairman, I'd like to go ahead and make a motion that we adopt committee substitute for Senate Bill Number 2002, Finance, 31-GS3565-M, as our working document.
I will object for the purposes of discussion and ask Finance Committee staff Shireen Crosby and Rob Carpenter to present the CS. We have other staff available for questions. You are at the hot seat, Rob. Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Shireen Crosby. I am staff to the Senate Finance Committee, but I have a desk in Senator Von Imhoff's office. In June, the House and Senate voted to concur on the capital budget, SB 19. In that budget, many items were funded through the Constitutional Budget Reserve, which requires a three-quarters vote. Due to the failure of the three-quarter vote, a large portion of the bill was not funded, including critical appropriations needed for federal match for state highways and airports. Other appropriations in the capital budget were vetoed by the governor, including Alaska Housing Finance Corporation grants. This bill in front of you is essentially the bill that both bodies passed in June, minus the items that were enacted, including federal funds, meaning these appropriations were either lost when the CBR vote failed in the other body or vetoed by the governor. If this bill does not pass, the fiscal notes for the crime bill will not be funded. The primary funding source for this bill is the Constitutional Budget Reserve account. There are a few appropriations being funded through other funds, which I will point out. This bill also includes language for the CBR reverse sweep. I would be happy to go through the sectional analysis.
Please go through the sectional. Thank you.
And I'm happy to answer any questions along the way. Section 1, page 2, is agency capital projects as passed in SB 19 minus the enacted items. On page 8, sections 2 and 3, these are funding sources for departments with a total of $161,431,629. Excuse me. Again, funding source being CBR. Page 11, section 4. These are supplementals. Section 5 and 6 details the funding sources for the supplementals for agency funding with a total of $3,220,200. Page 14, section 7, mental health trust capital appropriations. Page 15.
Excuse me, we're just going to hold on. We just have Senator Bishop has a question. Nope, excuse me, Senator Wilson has a question.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. On page 14, and maybe this should just come after we go through this. I'm just have to ask a question of, this is basically UGF dollars going to supplement the mental health trust budget that was already a separate appropriation. Is that correct?
Through the chair, Senator Wilson, these are projects vetoed by the governor.
Yeah, I understand that piece. The original items that these are the fund source of this is UGF dollars going to supplement the mental health trust. They have a separate appropriation bill, and that funding was not vetoed. That went through, but this is a subsidy of our UGF dollars to supplement their already current existing budget that through their trust funds.
Through the chair, Senator Wilson, the mental health trusts, perhaps Senator Von Imhoff would like to answer, Co-Chair Von Imhoff, they encourage a state match when they are using mental health funds to, in addition, it's the state input toward the state programs.
Thank you. Mr. Carpenter, did you have an additional comment on that?
For the record, Rob Carpenter, Ledge Finance. Shireen's correct that, you know, the Mental Health Trust Authority proposes a comprehensive mental health plan for the whole required program, of which a large portion is state funded and a large portion is from the Mental Health Trust. They submit that proposal to the legislature, who then vets it and decides on the funding level. The governor chose to veto all of the state money and only leave the trust money. This is adding back the state money.
Senator Wilson.
What's the total amount of the trust portion?
Grant me a moment.
And then just a follow-up question. Is this consistent with previous year's funding? What is in the bills is what we've seen in 2018, 17, et cetera, roughly?
Through the chair, it is consistent with past years. I don't have the total amount, Senator Wilson. I believe it's around $15 million, of which $11 million was state funding. That's included here.
Through the chair, Senator Wilson, we're happy to get that amount to you.
Fine, thank you.
Any further questions? This is a policy call. We are including the mental health capital projects in this bill into one capital bill. These were vetoed, but with the AHFC homeless assistance program, we feel that this is a critical area in the state, that the It is a priority to the Mental Health Trust. They have stated that they have only two priorities, homelessness and behavioral health therapy. And they are putting their money where their mouth is, and they've asked the state to help them leverage their funds. We had talked about this at this table prior. There are a lot of entities that are trying to make ways in the homelessness area, and we also had devoted an entire finance committee where we had several stakeholders at the end of this table on homelessness. So it was a call to put this back in the budget.
Thank you. Returning to page 15, sections 8 and 9 are funding sources for Mental Health Trust capital appropriations, a total of $11,700,000. Page 17, section 10 is our ratifications. This is a technical addition requested by the administration. It's basically righting a wrong which grants the administration the authority for prior year's expenditures. It's a technical. Also on page 17, section 11, appropriation of $200,000 EVOS earnings to Prince William Sound Science Center. Page 17 continued, section 11B, appropriation of $2 million payable to ADA for the Northwest Arctic Borough School construction and major maintenance. Section 11C on page 18, appropriation of $4 million for construction and expansion of the liquefied natural gas storage facility in North Pole. The fund source is called SETS, or Sustainable Energy Transmission and Supply Development Fund. So this is one of the cases where it's not CBR funds. Page 18 again, section 12, intent language for Department of Education regarding proceeds of sale of Sitka, or of Mount Edgecombe, of land in Sitka to Mount Edgecombe Boarding School. Still page 18, section 13, reappropriation of $34,577 for Flat Top Mountain Trail Cleanup Pilot Project. Section 14A, still page 18, intent language for Alaska Marine Highway System regarding proceeds of sale. Section 14B on page 19, reappropriation of $1.6 million of Harbor Facility Grant projects to the Harbor Facility Grant Fund. Still on page 19, section 15, scope change for Ketchikan Moorage Facility Project. Again, these were all gone over in this committee and passed unanimously on the Senate floor. Section 16, still on page 19, reappropriations of past capital projects to Alaska Housing Capital Corporation. Page 24, just a reminder on that section 16, that is reappropriations that will be sitting there and available for the committee to discuss and reappropriate next year. So section 17, page 24, is the reverse sweep language. Section 17B, this is deficit filling language. If revenues are lower than projected for all appropriations bills, then the CBR will be used to balance the budget. This is standard language. Section 17C, also on page 25, for supplementals requested for fiscal year 2020, it's also known as headroom, it's capped at $250 million. Section 17 is making appropriation from the CBR. Still on page 25, section 18 is repealing population triggers enacted in SB 19 for the Palmer Correctional Center. Section 19, lapse provisions, when appropriations will lapse. Section 20, retroactivity, standard language. Section 21, on page 26, contingency language regarding the reverse sweep. And section 22 on page 26 on the end is immediate effective date.
Thank you very much for the sectional. Do we have any questions from committee members? Senator Olson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As you look back on the on page four, page eight, you have the Office of the Governor. Do you have a list of what's included in this $10,700,000 that's a line item there? What's all included in that? This morning we had gone through and had asked OMB some of the questions that they had on their presentation that had to do with page four. Office of the Governor.
Mr. Carpenter.
Thank you. Through the chair, Senator Olson, are you speaking to page four, line 28? Or where are you at?
No, I'm talking about page eight, line 17, where it says Office of the Governor.
Okay.
CBR is the fund source, $10,700,000. Do you have an itemized what all these funds are going to be used for?
Sure. Senator, referring back to page four, line 28, is the project associated with that funding source. So it's for the statewide deferred maintenance and renovation to the Office of the Governor for them to manage that project for all state facilities.
So it's mainly deferred, Madam Chair, if I could. It's mainly deferred maintenance. I just want to make sure
100%.
That is the case.
Yes, sir.
I think Senator Olson had a question about a bill we heard this morning. A couple million dollars was going towards an IT type of deal. This does not, that concept that we heard this morning does not need to be, it's not necessarily reflected in this $10 million. Is that correct?
I believe so, yes, Senator. But I don't recall the IT project necessarily, unless it was related to their reapprope that was added back in the governor's bill because of the reapprope sweep. I think that's what that was, yeah. So this is different. Yes, sir.
Senator Olson.
Madam, through the chair, does that clarify? Is that clarify? Okay.
The next question I have, Madam Chair, has to do with on page 25. Section 18. And this morning we had a presentation that repeal had to do with the Palma Correctional Center, and the money that was going to be used there could be also used for out of state transport of prisoners. Is that still the case?
No, through the chair, Senator Olson. No, the funds are designated for the Palmer Correctional Center only. This is simply repealing the language that they have to have a certain number of inmates in order to use that facility.
No further questions, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Senator Olson. Senator Wilikowski.
Thank you. Just clarification. Does this bill restore funding for the homeless grant? Homelessness grants, power cost equalization, WAMI, and university scholarships?
Madam Chair.
Through the chair, yes, sir, it does, with the reverse sweep.
Thank you.
Any further questions? Senator Wilson.
I'm just want us to be cautious on a bill. You know, I understand the process and separation of powers issue. I just hope that, we don't try to do anything I don't want anything to threaten my road safety projects in action. Obviously, everyone knows about KGB, our most deadliest highway in the state. And obviously, those road upgrades are very important to the folks in my district and other areas as well. And I just hope that we just pretty much double the page length in this piece of legislation, And I just don't hope that we don't do anything to jeopardize the good faith and trust of finding a path forward to make sure we can get this capital project and what I call our job appropriation bill across the finish line. I just want us to be cautious and make sure that we can get all that done here.
Thank you, Senator Wilson. I think that's the intent of this committee and of this body to meet the July 30th, 31st deadline of federal matching funds, because connecting our state with its people and with its resources and with its land is a priority of ours, and I think that's why we're here. Senator Wilikowski.
The repealer language in Section 18, does that delete the reports that the Department of Corrections was going to issue?
Through the chair, it does not delete the reports, no. It merely deletes the requirements for the inmate count to release the money, the contingencies for the release of the money.
Okay, thank you.
Madam Chair, through the chair, Senator Wilkowski, we verified that many times, and it was definitely the intent of the co-chairs that was what would happen.
Okay. Seeing no further questions, thank you very much. I appreciate it. I will remove my objection. Is there further objection to the adoption of the CS? Seeing no objection, the CS is adopted. Senator Stedman, can I have a motion to move the bill from this committee?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I'd like to go ahead and make a motion that we move CS for Senate Bill number 2002, version M, as adopted, with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes, to the next committee referral.
Is there objection to moving this bill from committee? Seeing no objection, this bill moves from committee. Members, please be sure to sign the committee report before you leave. This concludes today's meeting. Thank you, committee members and staff, for being here so late. I particularly would like to thank Mira Couette and our bill drafter, Rob Carpenter, from Legislative Finance, and of course, Shereen Crosby from my office for the late nights put in for the first and second capital budgets passed through this committee. Our next meeting will be announced and posted on basis as needed. We are adjourned at 6:35 p.m.